The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 62 of the Hawks Talks podcast and all things Atlanta Hawks podcast, hosted by two lifelong Hawks fans. As always, I am Jackson Redmond, joined today by my co-host Logan Barnes. Logan, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm only going to bring it up once, but you know, my known is smiling up there in heaven, Jackson. Because
look, I would like to issue a statement.
It did not come home. It just didn't.
I would like to issue a statement on something. If you follow me on Twitter, you would know that there have been recent England supporting. Now, you should know, me and Logan, we're not... Is it fair to say that me and you are, like, not soccer fans, Logan? I don't want to offend you by saying that about you. I don't want to speak for you. Like, we don't watch soccer or anything. But we did watch this one. I was unaware that England's fans were kind of toxic. And by that, I mean, there's been some racism. So, look, I don't support England. Look, I didn't know that was going on. I thought everybody was just singing Sweet Caroline. We were clapping in the stands, having a good time. And then there was some racism. So, I'm off the boat of England. So, I'm not congratulating Logan or the Italian fans on their win. But, look, you know what? Maybe Italy deserved this. Maybe they should try being less racist in the future. Netherlands.
Italy did deserve it. They had the opposite of the Mickey Mouse run. They went through the hardest possible road, and they came out victorious.
They took the hardest path like Katie.
They literally had to go through Belgium and Spain, man. That's crazy. Come on now.
Well, anyways, this is an Atlanta Hawks podcast and not a Euros podcast. I'm sure you could find one of those out there for soccer because we don't know anything really. Anyways, this is probably one of the most long-planned and most anticipated Hawks Talks episodes. This is the official first ever end-of-season Hawks Talks award show for the Hawks. Now, I was planning on playing some kind of Oscars or the Academy theme music, but there is none, so you'll just have to act like there was some there. This is something we were planning on doing a while ago, Logan, but it's now happening today.
And it's long awaited, but we're gonna per usual with these sort of episodes, we're gonna try not to do the most basic answer, because if both of us just chose the same answer for everything, it would lose a little bit of its luster. So
there's only one of these I see us having the same answer for, and the very first one, which I think we should go ahead and dive right into. Logan, you ready?
Yep.
So, our first award category for the Hawks this year is going to be Team MVP. Now, I feel like once you hear Hawks Team MVP, only one guy. Chris Dunn. Elite player. Fouling on point. Possible sixth man next year. No, seriously. We both have Trey here, right?
Yeah. I just want to say, some Hawks fans have... it's not like I've seen this a bunch, but I've seen the occasional thing where, especially in the regular season, people are like, listen, Capella's our MVP because he came on the team and he changed us. And you know what? I kind of get it. He did fundamentally change how the defense can function. But shame on you. That is embarrassing. That's a god-awful take. Trae Young is the MVP. It's not even close. Top 10, 12, 15 player in the world. We're lucky to have him. That's all you have to say, really.
This was by far the easiest one. That's why I actually had it first, so we could just go ahead and get it out of the way. Trae Young, undisputed this one. And this is one of the ones I didn't even put much thought into it. I wrote down team MVP as like Trae. All right, on to the next one.
One more thing I want to say about Trae, if that's okay. But
yeah, no, go for it.
His playoff run was phenomenal. I think that's fresh in everyone's mind. Trae was very good in the regular season, but I feel like he sort of struggled. He struggled at times in the regular season. By his standards, at least, like the shooting wasn't great. He wasn't as efficient. And the fact that he was still just the complete engine to the offense. If he is not there, things just are fundamentally so different. Yeah, Trey's the MVP. It's going to be interesting to see how he functions next season, because now he's gotten a taste of the playoffs, man. I wonder if that's going to inspire him to really work his ass off, or if he's going to get to the point where he's like, screw it, man, this regular season doesn't matter. It's all about the playoffs now. So it's going to be interesting to see, but, you know, that's our guy. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, also, this is kind of a little joke I was thinking of. It's kind of hard to not have Trey as your team MVP when you're talking about this offseason, you know, giving him a max and then also continuing to build the team around him. So not many guys on the Hawks are getting talked about the team being built around them as well as getting a max this offseason. So congratulations to Trey, who gets team MVP. I feel like if any other Hawks podcast do any award show, and that's one of the categories, he'll definitely get theirs as well. But actually, I did not want to like have too boring of categories, Logan. I don't know if you saw, I tried to get creative with these.
Yeah, we didn't go just the standard NBA awards route. So
we didn't even do the NBA awards. Look, or Paul George will get an MVP. Anyways, for our next category, for Hawks awards, all right, you ready? Now this one is most underrated player. Now this one can either be, Logan, by Hawks fans or by the media, in your opinion. All right, just want to preface that. Or if you have a personal player you think went underrated, then feel free to say him as well. I did mine personally thinking of Hawks fans particularly.
Okay, I want you to go first then.
So my most underrated player for the Hawks this year. Now this guy, this one, I don't know, it may not make a lot of sense to you. I'm actually going to go John Collins. Now, obviously, when you think of the Hawks, I mean, you think of like our core. I mean, John's probably what, like the second player who gets named. I'd say about 55% of all people you talk to will say John Collins after Trey. I think that's fair. I think that Hawks fans were too caught up in the contract talks this year, and I think that kind of I think that swayed Hawks fans away from realizing how genuinely good of a player John was this year. I mean, he showed improvements as a stretch big, which is something we've always talked about. Like, when we drafted John, it was like, oh, we got a cool rim roller who can do, like, you know, these amazing alley-oop dunks. And he still is that. Like, John is still great when rolling to the basket. And like KD said earlier in the season when we played the Nets, if you remember, KD gave John extreme praise when he said that that of everybody in the league, John's the best about slipping to the rim and, you know, being able to get those alley-oops, being able to get those easy dunks and those layups. And I feel like John went underrated mainly because of the contract. I'm not going to say different. And I feel like I was guilty of that a bunch of times as well. I feel like we all were. Talk about John, I was 100% guilty. You talk about John, the contract comes up, and it turns into more of a, I don't think John's worth as much, than actually, like, grading how John played this year. Tremendous, tremendous. I would say John's a reliable shooter now. Is that fair to say, like, jump shooting-wise?
It's weird. He's kind of inconsistent, but, you know that over the course of the season, he'll be above 35%.
But yeah, he's and a my thing, streaky. I mean, he also hit some clutch threes, and for from the sure. corner,
Lord knows,
John from the corner is one of the best players ever. Now, I will say, 39% from three this year. His attempts were about the same last year, 3.6. This year, 3.3. And then he also made another stride in his three throws. He went from 80% to 83%. So, I don't know. I would like to see John get to the line more going into next year. I think John can still evolve as an offensive player. Usually, when we talk about John, we only talk about how he can improve on defense, how he can improve as like a playmaker, a ball handler, and all that. But I still think that John just has strides to make, even as a off-ball player on offense. Like stuff like, hey, let me get to the line more as a scorer. So that's why I personally, it's definitely something I'm guilty of. I think I brought up the contract too much. I think my worry about the money actually made me sometimes, you know, worry. It made me underrate John as a player. So look. That's why he got my award. So, Logan, who'd you go with?
Keep in mind, in I think the second episode of this podcast, Jackson said he would trade John Collins for Derek White. So he's coming.
Well, that there. Actually isn't too unrealistic. I don't know if anybody saw.
I don't know why I even brought it up, because now you're going to bring up how the Spurs might be trading Derek White, and it's just stop. I shouldn't have brought it up.
I looked up John's stats, and the first article is from SB Nation. I guess it's from the Spurs SB Nation affiliate, and it was why John Collins would be a perfect fit for the Spurs. But anyways, Logan, who did you go with for your most underrated player on the Hawks this year?
This was sort of tough because there's a lot of ways you could go with it. Technically, Trae Young was pretty underrated this season because he didn't even make an All-Star game. Trae Young was super underrated this season nationally. Straight up, he was. Guys like Kevin Huerter are pretty underrated. Game 7, Kevin. Like, that's kind of all you need to say. I mean, the Hawks were a pretty low-key, very good team, so it's easy to say almost everyone's underrated. I'm going to go with somebody that I think Hawks fans took a little too long to appreciate, you know, and maybe, again, I think contractually sort of stuff, contractual stuff sort of swayed Hawks fans' opinions on him. Y'all need to put respect on Bogey's name, man. You know, Jackson and I have been thumping our chest for Bogey for like 8-9 months now. And I know he missed 2 or 3 months with that injury, but when he is healthy, he is a game changer for us. He is very streaky, but it took Hawks fans way too long to I guess have Bogey in their good graces. And as soon as he had a couple bad games in the playoffs, I saw everyone switch back up. Just start hating on Bogey again. And like, look, man, y'all gotta respect him. He is a player who changes our offense fundamentally. Not as much as Trey, but he is inconsistent, streaky, I guess, but he is a world-class shooter who can pull stuff off the dribble. He can run a pick and roll a little bit. He can play decent defense. He's a guy that you could put on another team's sort of strong, small forward or shooting guard type. And he's a guy that can get his own in the mid-range. And Lord knows, he had a couple bad games in the playoffs, and I saw plenty of Hawks fans start saying, like, oh, why do we pay him? Oh, my God, he's so overpaid. Oh, my God, we need to start, blah, blah, blah. Look, man, Bogey was just a little bit too underrated for my taste. I understand he's not, like, an all-star level guy, but he is a very good starter, and I'm very happy to have him, straight up. That's just how it is.
I think me and you were always kind of, like, on the Bogey train. I think me and you were always like, hey, let's chill on the Bogey slander, guys. Like,
straight up. Sorry to sort of cut you off, but straight up, man. Like when we signed him, the first thing I did, I was looking up some highlights of him on YouTube because I thought he was just sort of a shooter. Like I thought he was just a catch and shoot guy. He was pulling up off the dribble in the mid range. He was hitting fadeaways. Like I was like, holy crap, this guy's just straight up a bucket. This is not just a shooter. This is a well rounded offensive player. And I don't know if he's quote the perfect shooting guard next to Trey, but he's a very good guy to have next to him. So
it was so weird, the Bogey hate to me, like, even like admittedly when his shots aren't falling, when his shots aren't falling, he's like not a good player on offense objectively. And but I also feel like Bogey's defense went underrated. I feel like at times this year that Bogey was genuinely a good defender. Like he could play next to Trey, and that's like one of the most important things like about our team is like having Bogey out there. That's the reason you didn't see the Sixers hunting Trey, the Knicks hunting Trey, and the Bucks only hunted Trey when Trey was injured and he came back. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of credit to Bogey for how he played this year. I mean, he admittedly in the playoffs he went missing a few games, which was due to injury. All right, look, I'm calling Hughes. I don't care.
And straight up, the last 3 or 4 games of the playoffs, he was our best player. Like just straight up, those games that the game 4, he had like 7 threes or something. Game 5, he was the only guy on offense that showed up. Game 6, he had 20 points. Like he's a good player, man. He's a little underrated. I just felt Hawks fans had a little too quick of a switch with him. They just like were really prepared to hate on him, and I guess it's because like they felt he was an overpayer from the beginning, which like maybe. But again, it's one of those things where, okay, maybe he's worth 3 or 4 mil less than 19 a year, but like, get over it, dude.
This goes back to last episode when me and you were like, shit, like, we're going to lose our dynasty because Hawks fans care so much about $3 million.
Yeah, so, you know, just get over it, man. Bogey's good. Lord knows he's one of the most fun players on the Hawks when he's on it. Like, seeing him, I don't know if you remember that Charlotte game, I think it was in February, or no, it was like March or April. You know the game I'm talking about where Bogey hit like 8 threes or something and he sort of carried us to a victory without Trey against Charlotte. That was a super fun game, and Bogey's just a really explosive player when he gets it going. So yeah, man, I felt he's a little underrated by Hawks fans.
He was also underrated by the media. I feel like every time like you would see somebody tweet about like Bogey, it would be somebody like oh my god, the Kings let the guy walk for free, and then it'd be like 55 Kings fans just saying, not this again. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Be like, well, we're glad we have Halliburton, or we're glad we have and it's like, you let him walk for nothing and he's a good player.
Objectively poor value, people.
Objectively, you screwed that up a little bit. Like getting Dante DiVincenzo would have been at least a decent move, but you know, Schlenk and Bogey's agents had different different plan in mind.
Can we say it? Hashtag Schlenking. All right. I mean, that was a good little segment on John and Bogey right there. I think those two were very definitely underrated by Hawks fans particularly, and I feel like it was for different reasons, but it also, I mean, also, Hawks fans care so much about guys being overpaid, man, especially when they're not even, like, that drastic. Like, it's not like we're giving Chandler Parsons $25 million.
We hardly have anyone making $20 million a year. Like, this is the NBA, man. This is not the NHL where an $8 million contract is huge. This is, like, the second most rich league in the country, man. There's a lot of money to blow. It is, well, I guess technically MLB might be, you know what I mean. Tony Ressler's pockets should not be your concern. The salary cap for right now is not an issue. We got all these guys' bird rights. Just chill, you know? It's a couple million dollars. It's okay. It's not coming out of your pocket.
Look, hey, stop pocket watching Tony Ressler, dog. Y'all, like y'all's teacher said, keep y'all's eyes on y'all's own paper, dog. All right.
Damn.
Anyways, let's move on to the next
one. That's
award.
Real.
It is real. Facts. All right. This one is actually a bit of a hard award to decide a winner for. Now, the category is going to be most surprising player of the year. Now, I didn't know how to do this because I don't feel like there was anybody on the Hawks that was purely a surprise this year. Like, I feel like everybody played up to their standard or a bit to their standard. But I did, however, feel like there was surprising players at segments of the season. And that's why, personally, my award for this one, Logan, for most surprising player of the year, actually isn't going to go to a player at all. It's going to go to an alter ego of a player, Playoff Gallo. All right, look, Gallo struggled against the Knicks, but let's not forget that Gallo legitimately did look like Italian Kevin Durant at times against the Sixers and Bucks. That surprised me. Like, I was genuinely shocked at, you know, at how good of a scorer he was.
And it needs to be said, he struggled offensively against the Knicks. He was one of the three guys that had Julius Randle in absolute clamps.
Alcatraz.
Straight up. So, yeah, that's actually a good point. He's a very valuable guy off the bench. He really is. I get it. His stats may never scream $20 million a year for us because he's not going to play 30-plus minutes a night. But it is crazy to think that we have a guy off the bench who is 6'10", who can make his own shot in the mid-range, who can make his own shot from three, who can kind of get to the rim at times, who is almost Trey level just on lower volume in terms of drawing fouls, is a 90-plus percent free throw percent shooter. And to wrap it all up, is one of the best shooters of the past decade in the NBA. Like, legitimately, you could argue he's the top 20 shooter all time in the NBA from three. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy we got that guy coming off the bench. So, that's a good point. And, hey, look, I'm sure he is absolutely cheesing today wherever he's at. Maybe he's back home in Italy. Maybe he's with his wife and kid. Who knows? I'm sure Gallo is cheesing right now.
Hey, what's that song you used to sing all the time? Mambo Go Italy or something?
Mambo,
I don't know.
Italiano. Yeah.
I'm not plugged into the Italian culture.
Yeah.
All right, but I feel like I didn't feel like there was any players that genuinely surprised me, like, in my preseason expectations and my entire season expectations, because, like, our season was very long. I feel like Gallo playing, like, that in the playoffs, because, like, it wasn't just, like, Gallo was just getting his points off of catch and shoots. Like, he legitimately was, like, shot creating. Like, he had P.J. Tucker running in circles. Like, come on now.
He crossed up P.J. Tucker multiple times.
Like, come on, let's show some respect to Playoff Gallo, man. I'm going to become one of those NBA Twitter people with a handle like that. I'm going to be playoff Gallo.
Dang, that's real. I mean,
all right.
It's also good for him because he was a guy that had never gotten past the first round until this year. And it's just good to see him perform, you know? You just know he was excited to finally be winning after, what was it, 8, 9, 10 years in the league? So, good for Gallo.
Trae Young Frill did some charity work. He got Bogey to his first playoffs, got him to the conference finals, Gallo out of the first round in his entire career.
He got Lou to the furthest he's ever been.
Trae Young out here doing charity work. Y'all are welcome. Enjoy. I'm actually very surprised because I feel like me elaborating on that, Logan, it allowed you to get a bunch more answers. I should say me and Logan didn't, like, share answers with each other. So, like, everything, all of our answers to each other are just as a surprise to us as they are to y'all. So I'm very surprised by who you're I'm excited for your most surprising player is, Logan.
I don't think you're going to be surprised by this. Look, we've been saying this since damn near the preseason. Jackson and I have had egg on our face for months now. If you had asked me back in April of last year, like right as COVID's hitting, hey man, what do you think DeAndre Hunter's going to do next season? I was going to be like, man, that guy's going to be overdrafted Jay Crowder. No, man. He surprised the crap out of me. I know he surprised the crap out of Jackson, but I especially kind of... I'm pretty sure Steve Holman blocked me on Twitter because I was making jokes about Hunter being bad. Like, I'm blocked by Steve Holman on Twitter. I'm not sure why, but that's my best guess. I don't know, man. He surprised the crap out of me. If we were assigning an MIP award, which we aren't because, you know, I don't know, just sort of is what it is. I think Hunter would be the obvious answer. The only issue is, of course, he didn't play it that much. It sort of was one of the saddest parts of the season was how little we got to see of Hunter. But, yeah, Hunter surprised the crap out of me. He took a big step forward on offense. He was just so much more aggressive. He looked like he just really figured out the league a little bit. Like, he was so timid his rookie year, and he just sort of got so much more confident, man. Like, it's like somebody reminded him, hey, DeAndre, you're like 6'7", built to be like built in a lab to play in the NBA. And he realized it, and he was out there. He was hooping, man. And the defense, can't speak enough about it. He ruined Julius Randle's legacy this postseason. Just completely
Julius
ruined.
Julius Randle legacy series.
Yeah, he completely put it in the dirt. Now the Knicks are wondering if they should max him on an extension. Like, Hunter surprised me because I know before the season, especially right after last season ended, I was not ashamed to be like, look, man, I think Hunter's never going to be more than just like a decent bench role player. And now it's hard to imagine the future of the Hawks without him. You know, pretty much like making sure he's healthy and good to go for the future is one of the top priorities for the Hawks, because if he is that guy long term, like just how he looked in the 30 or so games he played that season, he is an insanely valuable piece to have alongside Trey. So, yeah, man. All year long, I've sort of been the fool. I'm a boo-boo the fool because I was joking on Hunter's name. And he surprised me, man. There's no other way to put it. So, but look at me. I'm the bigger guy. I'm willing to admit that, hey, I was stupid, you know.
Simpletons, fools.
I had a freezing cold take, so to speak. And, you know. Just got to hold the L sometimes and hope DeAndre, hope he gets well soon, because I want to see him game one this upcoming season. It kind of sucks it's in only 3 months, but hopefully he's able to heal up quick.
Yeah, 100%. Look, it was definitely surprising to see. I think Hunter's like he turned into like a very different player this year. Like,
he looks so different.
I'm not gonna sit here and try to defend myself. Like, I'll take all the smoke. Me and Logan, we deserve our L's for this one. If y'all wanna pack watch us, feel free to. But
the reason I deserve like to be made fun of is because my whole thing was, yeah, Hunter, I think he'll get comfortable and he'll be an okay role player. Like, he'll be a solid on defense and he'll hit his threes. But my thing was, he's not gonna get much better. Like, he's not gonna develop the handle much. And he just was like, nope, I'm going to get better. I'm going to improve my handle a lot. I'm going to get to the rim. I'm going to finish the contact. I'm going to get to the line. I'm going to step on. He just proved me wrong. I was saying I didn't think he'd get much better. And a few months later, he was a whole new player. So, you know, egg on my face, Jackson. There's egg on my face.
Hey, there's egg on both. Look, we'll take our L together, Logan, like men. Look, hey, we deserve it. This is what we got. A good year for Hunter. Very, very proud. I'm very excited for the future of Hunter. Hunter and Reddish, like, that's Paul George and Kawhi right there. I'm jumping on that bandwagon, people. I guess our next category. You cool with us moving on to that one?
Yep.
This one is actually a very interesting one because there's a lot of directions you can go. I mean, obviously, and the category is rising star. I feel like very obviously you could be like, oh, yeah, Okongwu, he's our rookie. He should be like our rising star. I actually want to make this a bit more broad. This team is so young. There are several people on this team who can be categorized as a rising star. And last year, Trey would have been this for me, or especially the year before that. Maybe not last year. But I don't think it's going to be Okongwu. I feel like that's a bit of a cop out answer to go with your sixth pick. My rising star for the past year is actually going to go back to back. Cam Reddish, I very impressive in the playoffs. I'm all in.
You tell me Okongwu is a cop out, but Cam Reddish isn't for this.
No, No.
This before, is the quintessential. Oh, he's our rising star guy for Hawks fans for 2 years now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Look, first of all, there were some people who were hopping off the Cam Reddish bandwagon a lot during the regular season. When he went down, they were all off. Look, I was still there, Logan. You remember that. I was saying that the guy should have played against the Sixers in the playoffs, much less the Milwaukee Bucks. Look, I would have No, I wouldn't have given this to him. But the Bucks series, I don't. You can't ignore that, man. You can't ignore that game. I mean, we were up against the ropes, Logan. Trey was hurt. Game six. I mean, the Bucks are trying to get us out of there, dog. They're throwing haymakers. They're throwing uppercuts. They're trying to KO us. We're up against the ropes. And here comes Cam Reddish, all right? And he's like, we're not going out without a fight. And he's swinging back. And that's why he's my rising star. It's that mentality. It's the skill he possesses. It's the skill he possesses at that height. Let's not forget that this guy isn't 6'8", all right? He's not 6'7", 6'8". This guy is legitimately like 6'10", people. He's huge. Pause. Like, he is a very, like, you don't see guys who are as tall as Cam do what he does with, like, dribbling the ball, passing, shooting, playing defense, moving as well as Cam does at his height. You just don't see it. This isn't a Bruno Caboclo situation where you're making the 2 years from being 2 years away joke. Look, Cam is very much here to stay in this league. You know, I'm putting my foot down. I'm on the Cam fam until it's over. I'm going to be on this bandwagon until the wheels come off, really. That's why he's my rising star. I feel like people's expectations and, like, hopes for Cam got lowered after this year. And I feel like people, you know what? Maybe it made some sense to get off of the bandwagon to some people. But, look, I'm staying on it. My expectations for Cam haven't been lower. I still feel like he ends up being a very, very, very good basketball player in this league. A special basketball player, even. He's a special talent at that size. So, that's why he's my rising star. It's 2 years in a row now.
Yeah, that's the thing. He would have been a rising star last year. So, apparently my answer is a freaking cop-out, but Cam Reddish isn't, even though he's back-to-back rising star. So, yeah, I was going to say Okongwu, but you're just trying to make fun of me at this point.
Well, to be fair, I do agree that Okongwu is a rising star.
Like, I'm sorry, he was too good in the playoffs to ignore. It was limited minutes, and I have trouble calling any center a star just because you never, like, the only star centers in the league to me are Jokic and Embiid. Like, Gobert's not a friggin' star. I don't care how many DPOYs that guy wins. He's not a star. He's a very, very high-level role player. Not saying, like, that's a bad thing. He just plays his role. He just plays his role, which is be the anchor of the defense, and he's very good at that. So it's hard for me to really say Okongwu could become a star, but I see him really becoming a very good starter very soon. Not everyone's a star, so I'm not saying Okongwu's going to be making all-star games, but I do see him as a rising star type where in 2 years from now he's going to be starting and he's going to be looked at as maybe a top 5 to 7 center. Like, he's going to be sort of like how Bam Adebayo took that huge leap in his third year. I would not be surprised if he takes a similar leap. Although I do think his offense is going to be flat out better than Bam's, straight up. So we'll have to see how that one develops.
Look, I don't think it's a cop out answer, Logan. I'm sorry for offending your award like that, dog.
Yeah.
But I just feel like you look at your rookie, it's like, oh yeah, the guy who picked six, rising star, bada bing, bada boom. I thought about Herter here while we're talking about it. I genuinely. Look, yeah. Game 7, Herter. I thought about Herter here for the Rising Star Award, man. I really did because, you know, we've talked all about his contract, all about all of that stuff. And I was looking at it, and I was like, look, like maybe Herter's the Rising Star. Like, that Game 7, like, you talk about Cam's Game 6. Like, you can't not think about, I mean, Herter's Game 7. That stuff goes in Hawks lore, whether you like it or not, people. Like, that's the stuff that you tell your grandkids about.
I just don't know if he's really going to have the opportunity to be a real, like, star for us. You know what I mean? So, we'll have to see.
That was also an issue for me. Because, like, when you think of, like, the Hawks, like, core players, I mean, Herter's definitely a part of our core. But, like, Herter's not, like, at the top of it. Like, the upper echelon is Trey. And then, I mean, there's a bunch of answers there. I mean, Hunter, Capella, John, then probably Herter, Cam, Chris Dunn. No, I'm I mean, once you get past about, like, seriously, when you get past Hunter, Capella, and John, and Herter, then, I mean, one of those guys could be your second, and I would understand it, genuinely. Because that just goes to show you how deep this team kind of is, so.
Yeah, it was an interesting question for this award, because the team is just a bunch of good young players, right? So, a lot of different ways you could have gone with that award, for sure.
So, I'm actually going to go for our next category, Logan. Our next award category. This one is a bit harder to answer. This is probably the hardest category to answer, okay?
Okay.
This one will be called the Comeback Player of the Year. Now, this doesn't mean some inspirational quote comeback player of the year. I mean the player who's been bad in the past but was good this year. So no cop-out answers with no pride answers talking about my Comeback Player of the Year award goes to Capella because he was injured last year and now he's back. So don't say that because that's not what this award means. It means that a player who was bad and that was good. All right?
Okay.
So my award here is going to go to... Are you ready for it? Lou Williams.
Okay, interesting.
Now, I feel like you really need to you need to think back to the Clippers, Lou Williams. A lot of scrutiny out of the bubble. He only had like one good playoff game. I mean, the Lou Will hate was in full force last year. I mean, a guy who even up until he was traded to the Hawks, which is what we're talking about here, I mean, he was struggling with the Clippers. He was struggling to find his identity in a non-Doc Rivers offense with Tyronn Lue, the new Clippers head coach. I mean, he was not very good. And now you're probably wondering, Lou was inconsistent in the playoffs, 100%. I mean, it's one of the bigger things that we're going to talk about this offseason is needing to find more consistent the backup point guard spot. I mean, that really just goes with absolutely, like, any topic of free agency because that's what we need to find. Lou's not consistent. He's a microwave scorer. He's streaky. But Lou, I feel like after all of that, you still need to think back to this guy single-handedly won us two playoff games.
Three, I'd say.
Three.
Well, so, maybe not three. Two and a half.
Yeah, he was a big part of that Bucks game, if that's the one we're referencing.
The one I'm not sure about saying he won it for us was against the Knicks. He had a huge, was it game three? I think it was game one. And he just had it, like, he had six or eight straight points. And, of course, he didn't win us the game. Trey won us that game. But he was huge in the non-Trey minutes. That's the one I'm kind of gave him a half credit for. Because he was pretty good in that game as well. But carry
on. 2.5 games, one off of Lou Williams. A guy who went from like being like a lot of people were telling Lou to hang it up, go back to like partying, dude. And then Lou was like, nah, I'm coming back for one more, gets traded to the Hawks midway through the year, goes on to win 2.5 playoff games. I mean, a guy who's always, you know, kind of lambasted for his playoff performance was very good. You know, to win 2.5 games at what is it, 34 years old as a microwave scorer and people are writing you off the past year, look. That's a damn good comeback player of the year to me. I will say it's funny because he didn't win the sixth man of the year. He came in second for it. But
well, oh yeah, last year when Montrez won it.
Yeah.
Or the year when
Montrez came in third.
Oh yeah. That's right. But all right, I'm not sure if you're gonna like my answer for this, but you probably should. But you might take it the wrong way. But Cam Reddish, he's gonna be the comeback player, man.
I feel like as soon as you said that, I knew you were going to go there. And I kind of agree.
He is both not good last season, and he was injured. And both those things, I think he's going to come back next season. Knock on wood, no matter what, I hope he's healthy. He deserves to have a healthy season, but I also think he's going to be pretty darn good. I think he may not piece it all together quite yet, but I think he's going to be a lot less of a black hole on offense. I think he's going to be more efficient, and he's going to do Cam Reddish things on defense because he's been doing that since like December of the year he was drafted. Like 2 months into his rookie season, he's like, all right, I know how to do defense now at the NBA. I'm good. So that's going to be my comeback player of the year. Hopefully I'm proven right, because Cam Reddish, again, is like a huge key in the he's a huge piece of the puzzle for the Hawks becoming a championship contending team. So if he develops, man, we're going to be a special team. So not trying to put too much pressure on the guy, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he develops, and he's my pick for comeback player of the year.
No, that's a genuinely good answer. I mean, Cam, admittedly, that first half of Cam's rookie year, I mean, you talk about struggling, a guy who's legitimately talked about getting sent down to the G League.
I saw posts calling him the worst player in NBA history, which of course was like ridiculous and reactionary, but like the fact that conversation was even being had was a little bit jarring.
that's one of the ones where you're like, oh, okay, so people are just wilding out for reactions at this point, huh?
Yeah, that's when you just realize that it really is just a bunch of four-year-olds discussing basketball online.
If there was a start, cut, bench one, Cam would be getting cut. First half of his rookie year, Cam Reddish, absolutely. He just wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for the moment.
He truly was not, but hey man, let's hope he develops, because he really can be just an absolutely insanely special player. So
you don't see people at his size with the skill he has. All right, now look, we're actually gonna come down here, Logan. All right, this is our last award that we're gonna hand out, and I remember earlier I said I didn't think we were gonna have the same answer. more than once. I actually do think we'll have the same answer for this one. Okay. Our final award we'll be handing out today is not a positive one, all right? This one, you know, on the Hawk Talk podcast, while there is good, you got to have some doom in as well, people. Me and Logan have officially decided to hand out a Most Underwhelming Player of the Year award to somebody on the Hawks. And I think we have the same player here, Logan. I really do.
Okay.
I hate to do this. There was a magical moment in particular with this guy, but then everything else was bad. My underwhelming player of the year for the Hawks, all right, it goes to Tony Snell. Look.
Okay.
It goes to Tony Snell. Look. I'm all for some Tony Snell love. Look, that game winner against the Raptors, magical, very good. That was a pivotal part of our season. Like, it was fun to watch. We actually watched that together, Logan, on FaceTime.
That actually is what I think the turning point of our season was.
But after that, it was all downhill from there.
He sucked.
In the playoffs, he shot in the single digits from three, people. A guy who's always talked about for shooting 40% for three. He shot in the single digits, people. While I love Tony Snell, I remember talking about us extending him, and I was excited about him. The wheels really, 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 really fell off with Tony Snell. All right? That look, I don't know, man. It was bad. And when it was bad, it was really bad.
Yeah, he's an end-of-the-bench guy, and he got a lot of minutes for us. And that's not Tony's fault. It was injury's fault. But he was a phenomenal shooter for a month or two, and then after that, he got a little injury, and he was never the same afterwards. So it's hard to harp on it too much. You know, he was just a salary dump guy that we got, you know.
It was a good trade to get him for Dedmon. It made a lot of sense fit-wise.
Yeah, like, I don't... There are certainly some times when it would have been really nice to have Dedmon, but Tony Snell was a pretty big part for us in the middle of the season when every single wing was getting hurt. So he was not by any means an awful player. He just sort of fizzled out by the end, and... You know, I think that's the main reason why nobody's looking to, like, no Hawks fans are really worried about retaining him. I wouldn't mind bringing him back, but it'd have to be an extremely small contract. And for all I know, Tony Snell's probably going to get a little bigger offer elsewhere. He was apparently very well respected in the locker room. He's a very, like, quiet guy, like, just sort of was about his business. Apparently he still uses a flip phone or some weird or blue Blackberry or something, so
dresses like he's in G-Unit, so
yeah, weird guy, but he just seems like a chill guy that, you know, you're kind of happy for him to be in the league this long. And I don't think he's not done. He's gonna get another contract. There's no way a guy that shot 50% from three in the regular season is done. So yeah, but I do kind of like the answer. He was definitely a little bit disappointing for a good chunk of the season, but that is not my answer.
Wow, I thought we were going to have the same one, so I'm actually curious about who yours is.
I don't know if this technically counts, but Rajon Rondo was a bum-ass during the 20 games or so he played for us. Not only was he not good in the games that he played for the most part, but he would just take, like, weeks off. Does anyone remember that? He would just take games off. He wasn't really hurt. There was, like, Lloyd would just give him, like, rest days. And it's like, bro, we need a fucking backup point guard. Can you play? Like, we signed you to too much money, frankly, for you to be our backup point guard. Can you play? And he just... No. He would just go out there. The only thing that Rondo figured out, for some reason, he can shoot threes decently now. And admittedly, he was playing with a not great bench, because Gallo was hurt and struggling early in the season when we still had Rondo. We had injuries, but holy crap, dude. Rajon Rondo was super disappointing. When we signed him, I was not expecting a bunch. Like, I didn't love the contract, but... I definitely expected him to at least be better and to play more. And it says a lot that we traded him halfway through the first year of the contract. He may have asked to be traded. I know Schlenk apparently like talked to him was like, hey, do you want to get traded to LA? Like, I know you know. And Schlenk's that kind of guy. He kind of tries to get in people's goodwill, and good favor. And very happy that trade happened. But for that half a season, Rondo was extremely disappointing, for sure. And I did not even expect that much from him, but he was still very, very disappointing. So, yeah, that's my answer.
I did not even think about Rondo, to be honest.
I know.
I'm actually disappointed in myself for not doing that.
He's so far out of Hawks fans' conscious at this point. It's kind of funny. It really is.
It's like when you have a bad experience, you're like, let's just completely mentally block that out. So,
For sure.
Look, I kind of feel like we've done a successful job with that. More successful with blocking Rondo out of our minds than Rondo ever had was. Even though that one game against the Pistons where he had like four threes was dope.
Yeah.
That's my only Rondo memory. I choose to remember the good.
He didn't even have like, I can hardly remember any cool pass because that's Rondo's whole thing. He was like just one of the coolest players in the like early 2010s. Like he was on those Celtics teams. He basically has a move named after him, man. Like that ball fake. Come on, that's the Rondo move. And I think he did it once, and then he like bricked a layup off it or something. So yeah, was not a great contract when we signed it. And then he underperformed, and then for some reason the Clippers gave us picks to take on that contract. So thank you, LA. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we got Lou Will and two seconds, I believe so. Very 2 seconds. Hashtag shalinking, baby.
We got one less year to pay. Like Lou is an expiring. Rondo is on a 2-year deal. So yeah, phenomenal trade there. Cannot complain whatsoever about it. So yeah, Rondo is definitely my most disappointing player, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean that's a fair. I should have thought about Rondo, but I feel like we both had good answers there. We both had very solid answers there. I thought my Tony Snell answer was good. I also thought your Rondo answer was good. I didn't even think about Rondo honestly. So maybe yeah. I'm just a casual. Logan, for the first time in a while, we're going to be doing something that we haven't done in a while on this podcast. If you know what I'm referencing, we are officially going to be having an ad break. All right, look, we'll be right back after the. Hey,
one thing before this ad break. Yeah. If you want to completely avoid ads, you can sign up to our Patreon and select the medium tier or the highest tier, $8 a month. And if you do that, we submit a special ad-free podcast to you and to anyone that is on those tiers. So if you really hate advertisements, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, patreon.com/hawkstalks. All right, on to the ad break.
We'll be right back after these quick messages.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we're back. Thank you to Red Circle, our podcast host, for allowing us to play those ads. Logan, it is now time to hop into the second part of the podcast. We've officially finished the first ever ceremonial Hawks Talks Awards show. Some good awards were handed out, but now it's time to get into another fun part of this season in review. All right. This one is going to be it's time to get out of the award show clothes, Logan, and put on the slacks, because we're about to hand out some report cards for Hawks players this year.
Yep.
So here we go. Our first player we will be giving a report card to, Logan, is and I'm just going to choose this one at random. I'm not even going to go down the list. You ready?
Okay.
I'm actually going to be going with somebody kind of interesting. Nathan Knight, all right? Now, Nathan Knight, a two-way guy. Yeah, very. I told you it was random. There's no easy. I'm not going down a list. I'm not going down anything.
No joke.
I mean, Nathan Knight, a two-way guy. He had his moments this year. A guy who we who probably should have played in the G League more, but we didn't have a G League team this year.
Yeah, that was sort of that was something. Also, I rarely talked about this. That pissed me off that we didn't have a G League team, especially early in the season. We could have used one. That was annoying, but you know, is what it is. Look, Nathan Knight, he's a two-way guy. He was undrafted. He was not awful the whole time. He had some very good games, some good stretches. The second game of the season, he was huge for us. He helped us win that game. So straight up, he gets like a B plus for me. Like, I don't think he's a core piece moving forward necessarily, but he was an undrafted guy. I think he showed he belongs somewhere in the league. So good for him. B plus, you know. He deserves a good grade.
I mean, yeah, I feel like a B plus is correct here for standards. I'm gonna give him a B plus too. I think that's a very good answer. I think Nathan Knight will be on the team next year. I mean, well, depends on how he does in summer league. We saw Jalen Adams; he didn't do too good in summer league, and he got cut. But.
Yeah, that was
so. I don't know what the future holds for Nathan Knight. I do agree with you though. Whether he's on the Hawks or he's on a different team, I would like to see him back on the Hawks. You know, I'm fine with that as like an end of the bench guy. I feel like he deserves that. I mean, hopefully he wants to do that. We will see him in summer league. Our summer league team is actually pretty stacked. I mean, we're gonna have Mays, Knight, Reddish, and Okongwu. So that's practically like the dream team.
And hopefully whoever we pick at 20. So
21. Thank you very much.
It's 20.
Is it 20? It's 21.
It's 20.
You're tripping. It's 21.
I'm not tripping. It is
20. Dude, you're tripping.
I'm literally looking at it
right
now.
It's 20? I thought it was 21. Apologies, Lord. I thought it was 21.
You're fucking boo-boo the fool.
Like I told you, dog, all-season mode has still not clicked for me. I'm still in Cancun, dog. I've just recorded the podcast, man. I didn't know that. Jeez, all right. Well, we're picking 20. That's cool. Okay.
Embarrassing.
Anyway.
You're embarrassing yourself.
Our next player up for a report card. I feel like that's a pretty positive report card for Nathan Knight. All right, a guy who deserved it. This one is going to be a lot worse. Former Hawks second round draft pick Bruno Fernando. What's the report card on Bruno, Logan?
He's just not. He gets a C. I'm not going to be super rude. He's just not. You know, I wasn't expecting much from him. He didn't play much, frankly. He played a little bit, mostly under LP's tenure. He didn't really have many notable moments. He was not very good. It's iffy if he's going to be on a team next season. I think he could make do in the G League. Who knows? Maybe he can develop. But I'm not going to be rude. I'm going to give him a C. He's a, you know, it's hard to expect too much from him. He's just clearly not ready for the league yet. So, you know. I'm not going to be an asshole. I'll give Bruno a C.
I'm going to go C minus for Bruno. I feel like there was definitely some positives, and by positives I mean the time he game 6 against the Sixers when he ran off the bench to John's defense and he got suspended for game 7. So that happened. So that enough gets him up to a C for me. But obviously, I mean, we did pay a pretty nice penny for Bruno, if you remember. I think it was like Bruno in 2 or 3 seconds. So I don't know, it kind of, looking back, it kind of hurts to know about that, but I guess what at the end of the day, it's just second-round picks. I'm not going to sweat over it too much, but Bruno is obviously just, like, not panned out from what we drafted and definitely not what we traded up for him for, so. And he didn't play much this year, and when he did, it was garbage time. And Bruno Fernando actually had the last shot of the Hawks season, so that can't really be understated.
Isn't that crazy?
Hell of a way to go out. So I think a C plus, C minus. I think that works for Bruno. I mean, very much an underwhelming guy who really, I mean, we didn't see much of this year. And I think the reason we didn't see much isn't that the coaching staff hates him. It's because he's bad at basketball. Anyways, enough being mean about Bruno. I'm actually going to go to somebody I think you're going to be lower on than Bruno. All right? Chris Dunn. Yeah. Obviously signed him. You know, I feel like there was a lot of people saying that Chris Dunn was one of our best signings, Logan. If you remember that,
I'm fairly certain.
I said Bogey was our best signing. To be fair,
look, Chris Dunn. It's so weird because he had injuries and then he still wasn't playing. So it was like, oh, is he just bad? And then yeah, he's just not very good. I'm giving him a D. It's hard to be too.
We were all ready for Chris Dunn's playoff moment, and then it was just. Not good.
Yeah, you know, it's hard for the guy. He's hardly played in a long time. He scored, what would he score his best season in the bowl? Like 11 points a game or something? Clearly he's not, there's offensive prowess in there somewhere. Yeah, he scored 13 points per game his second year in the league. Now, of course, it wasn't super efficient. His third year in the league, he shot 35% from three on low, but like not super low, volume. Clearly there's offensive talent in there somewhere. It's just you know, is it ever going to come out? Like, I really just don't know. I'm glad he got a little bit of a bag. You know, he signed a 2-year $10 million deal, so good for him. He's set. But, yeah, he was not good. I don't want him on the team, frankly, at that price point anymore. I just don't really, it's just not, he's not worth it, you know? I wouldn't be surprised if he went to a worse team and put up decent stats. But, yeah, for us, I think Chris Dunn gets a D.
Can we do an emergency podcast if Chris Dunn, like, accepts his player option? Does that warrant an emergency pod?
I will not show up for that emergency pod. You can sell the pod all you want for that one, buddy.
No. You got to be there. I'm going to give Chris Dunn a I don't want to copy your I'm going to give Chris Dunn a C. I mean, while he was bad, I don't feel like we saw enough out of Chris Dunn. And I do look back, and I remember when I said that Chris Dunn could possibly be our sixth man. That was a lower point of my performance on this podcast. I'm not going to lie. That was pretty bad, admittedly. But, I mean, he did hustle. He was a good teammate. And you know what? A lot of times that gets you. I mean, if that's enough to get Bruno a C, look, we gave up. So we gave up actual, like, assets for Bruno, all right?
That doesn't matter for his report card, I don't think.
I mean, no, your report card. I mean, at the bottom of your report card, like, from school after your grades, it'd be like, behavior analysis.
How would,
like,
you know?
All right, then. You act like I didn't go to school. I was in school for 10 grades, dog. I have the equivalency of someone who graduated high school, so I don't, I don't know why you're still making these jokes. Look,
they're funny.
They are funny, but they're kind of rude. My report card, I mean, hey, it was good growing up, and then one day I just stopped showing up, all right? I stopped showing up like Chris Dunn, all right. Anyways, on to our next player we're going to be reviewing. This one's actually going to be more entertaining. I'm going to go with Clint Capela, a very intriguing player. I feel like he's been talked about recently a lot by Hawks fans, like his future with the team. I mean, I feel like you were a critic of Capela's, even when people were very high on him. Look, well, both of us were, but I feel like you were more outspoken about
it. Admittedly, I am less high on Capela than the Hawks. Don't get me wrong. Great trade for him. He did a lot of good things for us. I'm glad we have him. He provides a lot for us. I just don't think he is as instrumental and as good as some Hawks fans. Some Hawks fans were like upset he wasn't getting DPOY votes. Man, he's not that good on defense. Like, he has a lot of great games and a lot of great moments on defense. He has a lot of games where he is hurting us. So I will give him a very solid B+. Maybe an A-. I'll give him an A-.
I was actually going to go A- as well.
You know, I've criticized him, but at the same time, he is who he is. That's who we traded for. He helped us a lot. He sort of complicated things with John. Nobody's fault. It's just sort of, you know, that's when you add talent, you got to figure things out. He had some great games. He was inconsistent, not great in the playoffs, admittedly, but he does great things. He led the league in rebounding. That alone is extremely valuable. He had some great moments. He had a triple-double with blocks. That's one of the coolest moments of the season for the Hawks. So,
I mean, the finger wag after he blocked Julius Randle's shots, that was a big highlight. Capela's biggest issue this year was offense, by far. His touches, his touches just straight up bad.
I didn't even want to touch on that because it was just like, it's just bad. It's just bad.
I mean, his touch around the rim, like I just said, it's very bad. I mean, I don't know. His three throws hurt us, but I feel like we kind of should have expected. I don't know if I should have tempered my expectations for Capela's offense more if he was genuinely just, like, disappointing on that end. Like, I kind of always wanted to ask a Rockets fan, like, was Capela's touch, like, always this bad? Like, was he always missing, like, point-blank layups? And you're like, how the hell did you miss that, dog? Like you see a Kongu come in, and a Kongu has, like, good to great touch. And then, like, Capela just comes in, and he's, like, missing, like, these super easy layups. It's very confusing. Whatever, though. Look, whatever.
Yeah, it's
he's weird.
He's enigmatic, but he is valuable to the team. I don't want to act like he's a bum. He's not. He's a very good player. He's important. I'm glad we traded for him.
It's kind of hard to be harsh against someone who did. He did receive a first place Defensive of the Player of the Year award vote. So
yeah, I was just harsh because he would have some bad nights, and I'd be like, dude, this guy.
They're also very frustrating. It's not like missing three pointers. It's like missing, like, layups, and you're just like, dude, it doesn't get easy.
Yeah, and, you know, he just is who he is. And he's not a perfect center, but for the most part, he gets a job done, and he helps a lot because you're able to funnel, you know, just the perimeter defenders just have to do just enough to where they can funnel it towards Capela and John, and they can do the rest. So,
I mean, yeah, then you're just swatting shit out of the air.
Yeah, so A-, not a bad grade. Technically, that's a very good grade, but, you know, That doesn't mean I won't be slandering Capella next season, because I probably will be. That's just who I am, man. So.
Well, you'll 100% be slandering Capella. If Capella does something, you can go ahead. If Capella does something like where you're like, what the hell is that? I can guarantee you that Logan will have a tweet up about it very quickly. He's always on standby, ready to let you know that Capella's touch is absolutely awful.
Yeah, why don't you go do more tweets supporting the racist nation and the Euros, Jackson?
I didn't know they were racist until after the game.
Yeah, whatever.
I thought they were normal and just listened to Sweet Caroline. Like, Why would they listen to Sweet Caroline?
That's an American song.
They do listen to it. They genuinely do. They were singing after they beat the Danes, or Denmark, whatever you call Denmark, Denmarkians.
It is the Danes.
Denmarkians! Look, I don't care about soccer. I don't even like soccer. I regret watching soccer. I'm not here for geometry, fool. All right, back to talking hoops, like real hoopers. All right, Solomon Hill. Look, No. You said that character did not matter on Chris Dunn's report card, and I beg the contrary. I feel like character and who you are as a person matters a lot. Cause let's not forget.
No, that's not what I said.
When the Knicks tried to, what'd you say?
I said the fact that we traded for Bruno and the assets, that doesn't matter.
Like, oh, all right. Well, see, I still held that against him personally. I'm still seething as over that.
Apparently,
look, Solomon Hill, check the Knicks very seriously. That might just get him an A+ right there. They were messing with Trey.
That's true. Straight up.
Look, straight up. No Fifi on the Knicks block as long as Solomon out here. Look, he was throwing people to the floor. He was hip checking Nerland Noel. I mean, that guy was out there. He was about it, dog.
He was not dealing with Nerland Noel bitch made shit. He just wasn't.
And I mean, the Knicks were like hip checking Gallo, and Solomon was there. Like, you straight up, you gotta give. Look, if we need an enforcer, Solomon Hill was out there, dog. Like, he stayed with that thing on him, homie.
Jesus, I'm giving him a B.
I feel like that's. I mean, I will say his shooting was absolutely awful, but that dunk he had against the Bucks was very cool.
He's just not good enough on the floor to warrant anything better than B. But he is an important guy in terms of character and locker room and just veteran presence. He's important. I give him a B. He was literally a veteran minimum contract. I would have zero issues with bringing him back on that same contract.
I want him back.
Yeah, that, like, again, fingers crossed he wouldn't have to play so much because he played a bunch due to injuries. But yeah, man, he's just a cool guy. He also has probably the Hawks' best Twitter game on the team. So yeah, solid B for Solo for me.
Look, yeah, no, Solomon 100% deserves that grade. Even just for the Knicks series, like, stuff. Like, he would have gotten a high grade off of that. Like, and you know, Solomon Hill was legitimately a good defender at times during the season, both in the postseason and the regular season. So, you know, credit the Solo. And also, he has the best Twitter game out of the Hawks. Would you agree?
Yep.
Or is it Brandon? I'm not sure which one. No, they both have very good Twitter games.
It's Solo.
I mean, Solomon posting old pictures, I mean, that's just legendary. Next player we're going to be giving a grade to is going to be none other than Trigger Trey Young.
A. Move along.
A. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next one. This one's actually going to be pretty fun. DeAndre Hunter.
I'll give him an A. You know, injuries sort of ruined it, but he was good enough in his time, and he was huge in the playoffs. So it sucks that he couldn't play more, but for sure an A. For sure an A.
Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of sucks that Hunter went down because, like, he could have legitimately gotten into, like, A+ category.
Yeah.
So, I mean, him going down with that injury, it was unfortunate. Injuries, I guess. Like, he had two separate things where he was legitimately injured. And it sucked. It sucked. It sucked very bad. Because, I mean, but in the times he did see, took tremendous strides as a player, established himself as, like a very good option on offense, was very good on defense, proved that he can guard the perimeter, which is something that I think me and you both had concerns about, his lateral quickness and stuff. So, obviously, I mean, a very good season for Hunter. He's very deserving of that. It's obvious that he put in work to deserve that. So all the praise goes to Hunter for that. I think this one's also interesting. Onyeka Okongwu, what's the grade for him? I feel like the first half of the season was bad, but then the second half of the season, and especially the playoffs, like, that really inflates the grade we're going to be giving him.
I'll go with a B+.
I was actually going to go with an A-.
Yeah, that's right. He was, you know, again, he was a rookie. He was never supposed to be amazing this year. He was never supposed to have a big role. Like any rookie, he came in, he struggled. He didn't have a training camp. He didn't have a preseason. So that's definitely to make things easy. But you could just see him get better over time. And by the playoffs, he was legitimately great. So he deserves a solid grade, but you know, I would give him an A if he just was a little bit better in the regular season, just because that's where the volume, the majority of his minutes came from. But nothing wrong with it, man. Like we've been cheesing about Okongwu for about a month now, so we're clearly very excited for him. So I'm giving him a B plus.
I feel like an A minus works just because his playoff performance came straight up, like not out of nowhere, because I think we knew Okongwu had that skill, but I don't think we expected Okongwu to be so consistent and put it all together like he did.
For sure. So,
because, I mean, he really did put it together. I mean, legitimately consistent defending guards, like guys like Giannis and Embiid.
Yeah.
And that one, I think it was game 7, so.
I guess small Okongwu news, not only is he playing in the Summer League, he apparently might play in the Drew League with his old Chino Hills team.
Yeah, that's very fun. I won't be watching that, but that sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to watch the Drew League, but if there's highlights, that'll be fun to watch on Twitter or something.
Yeah, so, seeing Okongwu, like, catch those oops, I'm down with that.
Yeah, so just kind of cool. You know, I'm glad Okongwu can end his rookie season on a very high note so he can have just all sorts of confidence going into his second season because, you know, he really has some great potential. So, good grade for... Jackson, Nicky Okongwu. God, I hate that.
That was legitimately such. That was one of the best things about this podcast was like legitimately people starting to call him Nicky Okongwu. That was hilarious.
It's bastardizing his name, but
I will say he eventually did graduate from it. Remember we had that little thing where I was like, you know what? Let's all call him by his first name. He deserves that now. Like he doesn't need a nickname. If you're gonna call 007's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, who's next? Who's next?
Next up is Lou Will. The underground goat, the mayor of Atlanta.
I'll give him a B. You know,
I feel like a B's fair for him. I kind of want to go A, but I feel like his inconsistencies are too like negative to give him an A. But also, you can't give him a C because he legitimately like we said earlier, won us 2.5 playoff games. Like I don't know. Like I feel like a B works for him.
He has 3 bad games and then a great game and then 3 bad games. So you know, for what he is. You know, I think a B is okay. He showed up huge in a couple pivotal playoff games, so you know he deserves a solid grade. Plus, you know, I was thinking maybe B minus, but he's just such an icon. I'll bump him up to a B. So
he's your favorite basketball player's favorite basketball player, and that definitely weighs into our decision to give him a B.
There you go.
I mean, in a lot of ways. Lou Will, I'm just going to stick with a B. I don't want to think about this too much. Next up on our grading list for this year is Brandon Goodwin. Once again, just keeping going down the list of randoms. Brandon, obviously, it sucks that he didn't get to play any of the playoffs because he was injured. But, I guess he was sick, but...
I'll give him a B minus.
Oh, I was actually going to go like a C.
You know, I think he belongs in the league somewhere. I think he's an NBA-level player. He's kind of like Lou Will. He'll have several games where he's just not very good, and then he'll pop off. I think starter Brandon Goodwin is legitimately a solid player. Like, the last two seasons, he's had 2 or 3 games where he had to start in place of Trae Young, and he was huge. Like, 20-plus points, 6 assists. He's an NBA player. I think, and I hope he gets another contract. I don't think it'll be with us, but we'll see. You know... Gwinnett legend, man. So I think he deserves a solid grade, but at the same time, he wasn't great. He was very inconsistent. But you know, I got a little bit of a soft spot for him. He's a solid player. I'm thinking and I'm hoping that he's not. You know, he's got a couple years left in the league. I think. Who knows? Maybe 4 years down the line, he sort of has a late breakout. Like I don't know. Who am I trying to think of?
I'm rooting for Brandon Goodwin to just become like a super like microwave scorer like Lou Will, so we can just have like another like Atlanta legend type player. That would be very cool. I'd love to see Brandon Goodwin do that. It sucks that Brandon got hurt because I definitely feel like he would have broke out on one of the playoff games.
I think he would. I think especially against like one of the Knicks, like the Knicks or something, he could have had a game where he put up like 12 to 15 points. But you know, unfortunately, he couldn't see the floor then. But. You know, I like Brandon. It'll be interesting to see what his next month or so is like. But he's an NBA level guy, I'd say, and that's that. So you know, decent grade, nothing crazy though.
Next up on our grading list is actually going to be rounding out our two-way players, Skylar Mays. Skylar was he's actually involved in one of the funniest Hawks Talks moments. I think I would say a very good moment from this year when I said that I would rather have Skylar Mays playing point guard than Kevin Huerter, which I still stand by to be fair, but. That was one of the One of the best Hawks Talk moments of the past year, and Skylar Mays was directly involved in it. What's the grade? I'll give him a B, too. Yeah, I don't know. There's not much to say about
Skylar. He had a week where he looked solid to where Hawks fans are getting kind of excited about him. I was never super huge on it. He's just not like a high-level NBA athlete, but he's a smart player. He makes solid plays. His Game 4 theatrics against the Bucks were cool enough to where I respect it, you know. So I'll give him a solid grade. I don't think he's going to be an integral piece for us for the future, but there's no reason to not bring him back next season and see if he can continue to develop. Because we did draft him. He wasn't undrafted. He was a draft pick. He kind of probably could have gone top 40, and we got him at, what, 55 or 56? So, yeah, I'd give him a B. He didn't have an insane rookie year, but he had some good moments.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming back to play in Summer League. I guess he'll try and earn a roster spot then. I guess that's what Schlenk in the front office is doing. But I feel like a B's very fair for Mays. I don't know. I liked him. I still like him. I still have very high expectations. I still feel like he can be that guy. All right? He can absolutely be that guy, pal.
What is your parameter for that guy?
I mean, a defender who can, like, play a bit of offense. Because his defense was good. A very good point-of-attack defender, if we're getting down into the nerd terms, but...
Yeah, we'll see. He's a young player. Well, kind of. He's an inexperienced player. He's not super young. But, yeah, again...
He's only 23. He'll be 24 next
season. It'll be interesting to see him in the... who knows? Maybe he runs some pick-and-rolls with the Congo. So, that'll be interesting to see. But, yeah. Who's next? Who's next?
Next up. All right, we're actually running out of players here. You feel me? We've actually done the bottom three rows minus we're going to be completed with those after our next player that we grade. Somebody that I actually gave an award to for being very underwhelming this year, Tony Snell.
I'm not even going to be, you know.
D.
No.
Going D, personally.
Jeez. He shot 50% from three or something. I'm going to give him a B minus.
What about in the playoffs, Logan?
Well, I didn't want him playing in the playoffs anyway. I don't care. So, you know, I think he did his thing. He wasn't great, but he technically had a historic efficiency season. So, good for him, man. He stepped up for us when we really needed it, and then he kind of fell off. But I'm not going to hold that against him. You know, he did have some injuries. He got cold at the wrong time, but... Is what it is, man. I'm not gonna give him a freaking D. I'm like, that'd be like the worst grade we give out. So no, man. Tony Snell's not that bad.
I mean, he's not bad, but like also, like I was disappointed. Like in the playoffs, he just didn't. Like in the playoffs, I don't feel like it's asking too much of a guy to not shoot in the single digits at least. And he did that. And like he wasn't good on defense. Like he kind of just disappeared.
I mean, it's yeah. He sucked in playoffs, but he didn't get many minutes. Luckily, so. It just sort of is what it is. All right, we're getting down to the last couple. These are going to be some interesting grades because I know a couple guys we got left.
All right, we have, let me see here. We have.
Should be, what, three or four, right?
We have five players left.
Five, okay.
Here we go. The first player up, and going on about, you know, something special happened in this player's home country today. Danilo Gallinari. I feel like this season, look. There was inconsistencies from Danilo. People wanted to trade him. We actually had an episode where we talked about trading him. But I do want to say, Logan, while there was inconsistencies, I think we can look back and say it. Gallo was very good in the playoff, but before that, it's very up to your how much you value the regular season and postseason is going to factor into what you're grading for Gallo is. I think for both of us, honestly.
I'm just going to straight up give him... I'm going to give him an A minus. You know, early in the season, he would have straight up been a C minus or a D. But he picked it up. He just did what we needed him to do. And he had some big moments in the playoffs. Like, he didn't have the buzzer beaters. He didn't have the huge blocks. He didn't have, you know, the Lou Will takeover games. But there are multiple times where he'd hit back-to-back threes. Or he'd hit his clutch free throws. Or I'm saying that he did have his big moment in the playoffs. Who am I kidding? He stripped the ball from Embiid and iced the 76ers in Game 7. What am I saying? He also had that a dagger when Seth Curry was guarding him, and he hit that midi. So for those moments against the 76ers alone, I think he gets a big bump. So A-, you know, I'm hoping he's a little more consistent next season because there are some times where he just looked bad. And I know his defense. He's an old man. He's had some injuries. He's never going to be flying out there. But, you know, hoping for just a little more consistency from Gallo. But looking all in all, I think you can be pretty happy with how he played.
Well, I'm very excited that I'm very excited to think. Look, I want Gallo back next year. Gallo's going to be a very hot topic upon Hawks upon the Hawks fan base, just because I mean, obviously the salary's there and the desire, and you know you can legitimately move Gallo in like a first for something nice. I think that was been mentioned before. But look, I'm all on Gallo coming back, but I'm also all good for trading him. My grade for Gallo, Logan, is actually going to be an A.
Okay.
Very conservative, I know. But I do feel like what he did in the playoffs, that can't go understated. Like, he legitimately did bail us out a lot. I mean, and a lot of times he... I mean, except for that, those first, like, few games of the Knicks series, he was good.
Yeah. So, just, you know, big offense off the bench can't really be understated enough.
And his defense was good at times.
And you can start him. He can start for you and you don't feel bad about it. Like, John has an injury or Capella's hurt and we got to play John at center. Gallo at four... That's a lineup that works against a lot of the teams in the NBA. So he's just a valuable piece. Again, he's a tradable contract if you wanted to get one of the big fish, but I'm not in a rush to trade him unless it is for a legit star. So, yeah, solid grade for Gallo. I think he's pretty good.
Next up on our we're running out. We're officially down to four players left. All right, are you ready for the next one, Logan?
Yep.
Next up on the grading list is going to be Cam Reddish, a guy who got the Rising Star Award from me earlier. He got an award of yours. I forget which one.
I got a grade for you right off the bat, all right?
I'm ready.
Incomplete.
Incomplete. Wow, not even on the letter grading system.
I'm not going to give him a grade. I feel like there's – and I know, like, you gave Hunter a grade, and he played just as many or fewer games. Listen, man, this is my podcast. I can do what I want. I'm giving Cam Reddish an incomplete just because – he was not very good in 75% of the minutes he played, but he had such a big injury, and he's just such a raw player. I'm not gonna grade him for something that he just hardly played. So I'm gonna give him a withdrawal or an incomplete grade. You know, one of those sort of like technical terms that classes use in college. So I'm gonna just give him an incomplete grade. We'll see how he is next season. I'm not gonna dive too much deeper than that.
I'm going to give Cam a B just for his postseason performance. I don't want to give him the incomplete grade. I feel like giving them the incomplete grade is kind of like like it from you, but it'd both be boring. If you're like, oh, incomplete, just copying each other. I'm going to go B plus for Cam Reddish. That playoffs was very good. His playoffs, he was a playoff performer. He stepped up big.
For sure.
Speaking of people who stepped up big in the playoffs. We're down to three players, Logan. All right.
We sure are.
People who stepped up big in the playoffs. Kevin Huerter. All right.
Game seven, Look, Kevin.
Game seven, Kevin Huerter, or as he was called infamously afterwards, and probably forever will be called in Hawks fandom, Kayvon Huerter.
Kayvon Huerter. Look, I think he gets a little like he's more inconsistent offensively than I think people are realizing. I think he's like even in the playoffs he was a little inconsistent on offense. Still. At least an A-. He stepped up. You know, our wings were made of glass this season, and Kevin, I think, missed one or two games. That's it. And he just, straight up, he went out there, he played his game, he got a little bit better. He got so much better on defense, under Nate McMillan. That kind of can't be said enough. He made himself a crap ton of money, so he deserves at least an A-. I wouldn't go A+, personally, just because I think he's still a little too inconsistent on offense. He had some bad stretches. His shooting got oddly a little worse, which was kind of weird, but still a pretty damn good season for Kevin. He stepped up when the Hawks needed it. So it's to the point where he's looking like either one, a very good trade chip, or two, an integral piece of the core that you kind of want to retain. So yeah, I'm giving him an A-.
I feel like he's definitely one of those players who's in the – I'm going to give him an A. I straight up feel like the Game 7 Huerter. It just pushes him over for me.
That too. That's entirely fair. He's
the
reason
we made the conference finals. It's one of those things that's going to be synonymous with – when we look back at the season, it's going to – one of the first things I'm going to remember is the Game 7 Huerter performance straight up.
Yeah, that's entirely fair. So, yeah, Kevin did his thing. It's really funny to see how much money he made this offseason or this past season.
Look. He'll definitely be getting more than Luke Kennard. I remember when that was a topic.
Especially since Luke Kennard's contract, it's not guaranteed. It's a lot of incentives. His bare minimum is 16 mil a year, like, guaranteed for Herter. Like, I think he could get 4/80 pretty easily. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. That's going to be a hot topic over the next few weeks, because the Hawks, just like John Collins last season, he's we could extend him, or we could let him play out this last season. So who knows? Maybe we have a...
Like, oh, thank God, my favorite Hawks podcast won't talk about John Collins' contract situation anymore after these next few weeks. And we're being Logan is like, no, we got to get started about Kevin Herter, dog. Nothing stops around here, baby. More content.
Yep, that's just how it is.
We have two players left.
Two
of them. Left.
Yep.
The player we're going to do first, and I'm saving a special one for last, because I think the special one's the most interesting.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure am.
Bogdan Bogdanovic. I'm actually going to...
No, I'm kidding.
I was going to go A-minus, personally.
Yeah, I'll go B-plus. He was a little too streaky to get an A for me, I think.
He started off really bad, and then an injury, and then he came back, and the wheels started moving again.
Yeah, it's sufficient to say for the last two and a half months of the season, he was the best shooter in the world that wasn't Steph Curry, which is insane. He had a couple games in the playoffs. Like, he's an absolute flamethrower when it's on. He is one of the most technically pure-looking jumpers. He's a fun personality, too. Like, he's a fun interview. He kind of has this cockiness, but, like, it's not, like, super dorky, like Tyler Herro's cockiness. He's just sort of, like, he's also tough as nails. Like, he's just one of those Serbian guys that just, he's gotten elbowed in the nose who knows how many times, and he's a little tough it out. And it can't be understated. He played on a freaking knee injury in the playoffs, and he had some tough games, but he also had some huge games on the injury, so... I think he deserves a good grade. I think he is who he is. I think he's not going to be a super consistent guy, but it's very clear. When he's hot, he is a top 50 to 60 player in the league. It's just how much of that can he keep consistent. So glad we signed him, though. He's a really fun player to watch when he's got it going.
Yeah, no, I mean... Without a doubt, Bogey was—he's very fun to watch, like you were saying. And also in the playoffs, he was legitimately good outside of a few games. But he was also injured; he toughed it out. So I feel like an A minus for Bogey works very well. All right, last player, John Collins. Our final grade that we're going to be handing out—we're actually an hour and 15 minutes into the podcast, one of the longer Hawks Talks episodes in a while. But look, this is—I say the best for last, Logan. You got to like how I did this.
Yep.
I think John, he was my most underrated player by Hawks fans, all right? Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to go B+. And okay. I know that seems low because we've handed out, like, A's to a few guys by now, you know. My reasoning for John to get a B+ is, while, yes, he improved in the stretch big department, his three throw went up, I still feel like John looked very raw when it comes to creating his own shot. Now, not creating for others, because, like, you're not expecting your power forward to create for others. I mean, if you're doing that, then, like, you're looking at guys like Draymond, Ben Simmons. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Not that Ben Simmons does that.
Just completely different type of guy.
Yeah, different players who just happen to play the same position, really. John has – he can't dribble, really. And it's definitely – it's bad because John legitimately has, like, that push shot for the mid-range. But the only way he can get access to it is by posting people up. And when that happens, I mean, you're relying on John to out-physical someone, and that obviously takes a toll throughout a game. I mean, the more physical of a player you are, the more, you know, bang you're going to do, the more injuries you're probably going to get. Not that, you know, knock on wood, John's likely to be able to avoid injuries as most of his career. But personally, I feel like John's a B+. There's still a lot of room for improvement. I mean, I think we're very far from seeing John as a complete player.
It's interesting. He typically gets better.
I think a B+ is fair.
I'll go with A-. I think it can't be – I think it needs to be said that he was put in a difficult situation, and he still, like, played his ass off. He didn't put up amazing stats. He didn't get nearly as many pick-and-roll opportunities because that's really the only thing Capella can do. But he was better on defense. Like you said, he got more efficient on the jump shooting. He developed a little bit of an elbow mid-range game. Yeah, he still has some gaping holes in his offense, but – you know, he was thrown into a different role entirely, and he never once complained. He just sort of did his thing. He put up pretty good stats. He did little things that help you out as a team, and it's not like he put up bad stats. He put up, what, like 17-8, something like that. He missed, what, 10 games or something along those lines. He was you know, when he's gone, you just, you feel his impact, like, missing. You know, yeah, he put up 17 and 7 in a block. So, I'm going to give him an A-. You know, of course, it wasn't, like, a phenomenal, like, last season when he put up, like, 21 and 10, you know, and sure, he's playing on a crappy team, but he was putting up amazing stats. Sure, he wasn't that, like, holy crap, look at all the things John's doing. But he took on the new role, and he did his thing. He played well, so... He deserves somewhere in the A range, I would say. And in the playoffs, he had some bad games, for sure. He had some moments where he was invisible. But he also had some very huge clutch moments. So, John deserves some flowers, as the kids say. So, I'll give them to him right now. A-.
I'm hoping John's back here next year. I would like to see John. I would prefer to see John back with the Hawks than him on the Spurs. Because if he goes to the Spurs, I don't think it's going to end well for all the JC supporters. That's all I'm going to say on that topic. Anyways, that does it for our first ever Hawks Talks Awards show and report cards. Very long-awaited episode. I enjoyed this. I had fun doing this. More award shows next year. All right, maybe we'll do one for the entire league. That's what my hope is. Hopefully, I mean these such inconvenient Eastern Conference Finals runs just held us back from doing that. But overall, a very good episode. Logan, do you have anything else you want to say before we start wrapping things up here?
No, man. Just we kind of already did the Patreon shout-out thing, so not going to do it again. Just want to thank everyone for listening. And
check the bio for every convenient link to this podcast you'll need, including Twitter's and the Patreon, because they're all in there now.
Yep.
There you go.
And hope if you guys have any thing you want to hear over the off-season, just tweet at us. I'm sure we'll listen and take it into consideration. But otherwise, you know, hope you all are looking forward to some good off-season content, because I know Jackson and I have some ideas brewing, so... You know, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, it's stewing like a stew in the pot, all right? That'll do it for episode 62 of the Hawks Talks podcast. Me and Logan, hope you have a good start to your week. Have a good rest of your weekend whenever you're listening to this. We'll see you for episode 63 of the Hawks Talk podcast sometime next week. Thank you for listening. Have a good day. Love you. Bye.